My scripture passage for this morning is not what is indicated in the bulletin. Again, this week I found myself moving in a new direction as I worked on my sermon. So this week, my scripture passage is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Listen now for God's holy word. Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. This week, we continue our sermon series on evangelism. In my earlier sermons, I have already acknowledged that for many of us, the idea of doing evangelism is strange and uncomfortable. For some of us, we've had bad experiences with evangelism. What we have seen and heard and experienced of it has made us turned off to it. For others of us, evangelism is just something that is completely foreign to us. It isn't anything that we've ever done before, and because it's something new, it's a little bit strange and it is scary. While many of us may have a general discomfort with evangelism, I also believe that we are convicted that evangelism is something that we are called by God to do. As honest readers of Scripture, we see the evangelistic actions and hear the evangelistic instructions and calling of Jesus. We see that he came to seek and to save, to gather in the lost into communities with God and with one another. We see and hear Jesus calling the disciples to do the work of evangelism, to be fishers of men, to go out and to help gather those who have been plundered out of God's kingdom. We see Jesus sending the disciples out to go from home to home and village to village with a message of God's love and God's grace. We hear Jesus giving the Great Commission, that his disciples are to go out and make more disciples, teaching them what Jesus has taught them and baptizing them in God's name. We see in the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit descends upon the early church, and the Spirit's gift includes the gift for communication, which enables the apostles to share the good news and inspire faith in the hearts of others. And in the book of Acts, we see the models of the early apostles, Peter and Paul, Philip, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, and others who went out village to village, region to region, telling others about Jesus, healing, casting out the forces of evil, transforming people's lives, and bringing together communities that were founded solely in the love of God, found in Jesus Christ, and in the faith that that love produced with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you have spent any time reading the New Testament, it is impossible to ignore the place of evangelism in the calling of a follower of Jesus. But I realize that Scripture is not the only place where we find ourselves touched by God's Spirit when it comes to the motivation to do evangelism. Here at church, we find God touching our hearts as well. When we look at our church and the fact that there are some empty pews in the church, we all feel longings in our hearts for those pews to be populated and filled. And while we are at home, when we consider our families, our friends, our neighbors, when we drive through and travel around and go to events in our community, when we see all of the people who live around us in this world, we can't help but wonder why. Why, with so many people in our community around us, why aren't more of them here at church? While the answer to that question is complex, I believe that in these past few years, it is God who has put it on my heart that evangelism, overtly talking to people about God and what God has done in our lives and helping people to know what God can do in their lives as well, this is a part of the calling that God has for us here and now in this moment. I believe that God is causing the roots of faith to grow, to begin to grow in the hearts of people all around us, and that it is and always has been God's style to use human servants like you and I to help others realize that that faith is growing there, and then also to help them to cultivate that faith so that it can grow and flourish. We feel a calling towards evangelism, even if it makes us uncomfortable. We feel a calling towards evangelism, but how do we do it? This fall, I was asking myself that question, and so I wanted to do a little bit of research. I began reading a book on evangelism to try and start to answer the question of how do we do evangelism? How does God want us to go about doing this work? My choice of books to read for this project was very unscientific. I didn't really know where to start, and frankly, to be honest with you all, I was a little bit embarrassed to reach out to anyone else to ask for help or recommendations on resources for evangelism. So I did what millennials like me do. I just went online and I typed into Amazon evangelism book, and I ordered the book that came up at the top of the search results. I figured that even if I disagreed with everything that the author of that book had to say, at least the practice of reading that book would get me thinking, and the book, it turned out, wasn't terrible, and it did get me thinking. One of the ideas in the book that got me thinking was the author's point about his own reframing of evangelism. For him, he was first involved with a Christian tradition that described people who were outside of the church as those who were lost. In this framework, the point of evangelism was to go out and to save the lost. And the author's point was to say that this language of being lost was overly harsh, and it didn't quite paint the right and faithful picture of what was actually going on in evangelism. In his opinion, the word lost was too definitive sounding. It painted too stark of a line between those who were currently in the church and those who were not yet a part of the church. And so as his ministry developed, he helped his congregation to make a shift in perspective. They reframed their thinking on the people outside of the church. They reframed their thinking on evangelism. Instead of viewing people who are outside of the church as lost, the author and his church reframed them as the people who Jesus missed most, the people who Jesus was missing most. They were missing, like a child who doesn't come to the dining room table when they're called. She isn't lost. She's just in the family room, right? She isn't lost. She's not a part. She's not like, it's not like she's lost her place in the family. It's just that there's a chair empty at the dining room table. She's not lost. She's just missing. The author and his congregation, this was a helpful shift in their thinking and their perspective. They reframed their view of the people they were trying to reach. And that reframing helped to change the way that they looked at and thought about the people that they were speaking to and reaching out to. Sometimes a shift in perspective, a reframing in our thinking, can be powerful. And so I took the author's point. And this fall, I began to prayerfully reflect on what kind of reframing God might give to us to help us in pursuing our sense of calling for the work of evangelism. To begin with, I asked, what is our current frame? How do we currently frame evangelism? How do we currently think about and look at the people who are outside of the church? To answer that question, I began to pay closer attention to the things that we were saying. I began to pay closer attention to the conversations that I was having with folks, both here inside of the church and those who are outside of the church, about our work of trying to get new people into church. I listened to the words that we used and the language that we used to try and understand what frame we're currently using to understand this work and this calling. I listened carefully for several months, and this is what I discovered. Most of the time, when we think about people who are outside of the church, we frame evangelism about what we need here. It's about what we need here, right? We say things like, we need more people. We say, we need more kids. We say we need a Sunday school. We say we need more youth. We need a youth group. We need a youth ministry. We say things like we need more families. We need more people from a certain neighborhood over there. We need more people who are this age or that age. We need more people who will volunteer. Or we say we need more pledges, more offerings, more people to help pay the bills. When we talk about people outside of the church, we say, we need. If we were to give a title to our church, it would be the Church of the Perpetual and Unfulfilled Needs, right? As I thought about how we frame evangelism, what I realized is this. When we think about bringing people here to church, we think about evangelism, reaching new people, about our needs. Think about it with me for a moment. What is evangelism all about? What do you believe evangelism should be all about? Is it about our needs? As I thought about it this fall, God inspired within me a reframing of the issue. When it comes to the church, Scripture tells us over and over and over again to trust that God is the one who will supply our needs. God is the one who will supply our needs, for God is the giver of all good things. God is full and overflowing with the amazing grace and the sufficient provision that we need. God is the one who gives, and our job is to receive what God gives and then to take what God has given and to share it in gratitude with others. As I thought about all of this, I realized that we have gotten so caught up in focusing on our fears and our needs that we have fallen into a framework of evangelism that is completely and utterly upside down and backwards. When we look at people who are out there, people who are not yet a part of our church community, people who are not yet a part of our fellowship and the community of love and care, we look at them in terms of what they are supposed to give to us and how they can meet our needs. And that, my friends, according to Scripture and Jesus' example, is completely backwards. When Jesus sent out the disciples, he promised them that their needs would be met. And he called them to put radical trust in God's identity as the God who would provide for their needs. Jesus sent them out with nearly nothing in their purses or their pockets. They went out only with the love of God in their hearts and the message of grace on their lips. As he sent them, Jesus told them that the God who made them and who had put them in this world would look out for them. Jesus explained that God's eye was even on the sparrow. And as God made sure that the sparrow's needs were met, so God would make sure that the disciples' needs would be met as well. Jesus explained that God was with them and that God knew their needs so intimately that God had even numbered the hairs of their heads. The message was to not worry about your own needs, but to look instead to the interests and the needs of others. Jesus was sending the church, sending the disciples out to meet the needs of others, to take the grace and the love and the power that God had given to them, and to go out and to put that love and that grace and that power to use, to bless and to give and to transform other people's lives. The message was not to focus on what we need, for that God promised to provide. My friends, I believe that in this season, God is calling us to reframe our thinking on evangelism, and more importantly, to reframe our thinking of the people in this world around us. When we look at the people in this world around us who are not yet a part of our church, what do we think of them? Do we see them as those who are there to meet our needs? Or do we feel God calling us to look upon their needs and to use the resources that God has given us to help them and to bless them and to give them what only God has empowered us to give? to do evangelism and to do it right, we have to think not about what we need, but we have to realize what we have been given by God, the God of provision. And then once we have a sense of what we have received, we have to ask ourselves, what do the folks who are out there, what do they need? And how has God positioned, sent, supplied, and called us to meet those needs? What do we already have from God? And how can we use it to help others? The answer of what do we have from God is a long and rich list. God has blessed us and this community as a community of love and care and spiritual practice and spiritual foundations and peace and grace. We have many things that are good that God has given to us. Our work now is to work to share those blessings with others. When it comes to the knowledge and the blessings of God, we have a lot to offer. And we have things that are unique. We have things which God has vested in the church, which God has not given to any other institution in this world. So let us not neglect or disregard the gifts that we have to offer to others. With God's help, let us in this season reframe our thinking. Thanks be to God. Amen.